You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Okay, this is the Crossface Conversations episode 2. I think this is 2 weeks after the last one. Today I'm joined by Melissa.
Hello.
Okay, and I think this could be the start of a long-term co-host thing, if she's up for it.
I mean, as long as you don't want to talk to her.
Okay. I was sort of sceptical about having Melissa on because if any of you listened to the Matt Attack, and I predicted that the Fiend was going to get screwed over at Hell in a Cell, and it happened, so I was sort of in fear of my life. Yeah, I'm sure. Sure, this will be fun. Got a lot to talk about this week.
Oh yeah, I mean, we had the whole draft that we had to talk about, and how many wrestlers punked on the draft, which is even more confusing than going where.
The rules confused me. I saw that on WWE.com, and they said that they were gonna have executives from Fox and USA actually there. And then I was watching it, and then it was literally just Stephanie McMahon announcing names. And a lot of people pointed out on Twitter that they were they followed the order that they put up on the website when they said that like who was eligible on the first night and the second night. So,
well, it's interesting because if you watch it and look at it, they say that like tag team is one choice, but then USA chose Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross individually.
Yeah, that really confused me. Like they chose the. Obviously, they chose the OC and they chose Heavy Machinery and Street Profits together. And unless there was some sort of issue that sort of made Raw take up more, like needed Raw to take up more picks, because obviously they get more anyway because they're the longer show, then I don't get the logic behind it. But I'm sort of glad that they kept Bliss and Nikki together, considering there aren't, the women's tag division's a bit thin at the minute.
Well, I mean, it's thin because they don't care.
That's
the tag team is literally like the least loved child in Catholic orphanage.
Yeah, and it is a real shame because they have such like talented women that they could be using. If you have like the...
Yeah, that's a story of WWE.
Yeah, but yeah, so if we want to get talking about the draft first, I can't even remember who was drafted when. I know Becky was the first overall pick.
Yeah, that didn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I think it was more because, see, it was good because obviously it's the first time that a woman had been drafted first, but then I feel like they could have gone with someone else that wasn't Becky, and it would have surprised people more, because they seem to be pushing her as like the golden girl of the entire women's division at the minute, so it wasn't really a huge deal that, well, it was obviously it was a huge deal, but it wasn't a surprise like it should have been.
I feel like it was a damned if you do, job situation. If they hadn't chosen Becky, they would have chosen Charlotte, which everyone would have been like, oh, it's Charlotte. Or they would have chosen like Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins. So it's one of those things where it's like limited people were an obvious choice.
Yeah.
So they only could really choose those people.
Well, that's true. I quite would have liked to see if they wanted to pick a woman, I think it would have been awesome if they chose Bayley, and rather than having her wait until the title match with Charlotte to come out and kill the inflatable children, which was a pretty awesome visual. I think that would have been cool.
That's okay. I know that tweeted out maybe like a few hours ago.
Yeah.
That he's a free agent now.
Yeah, I saw that, and it was when you have someone the level of Cesaro in your company and you don't draft him. It's, well, as you say, it's WWE for you, isn't it?
Yeah, and, Matt Hardy wasn't drafted
either. Yeah, that's, it wasn't, I was surprised, but, like, not as much, because he's sort of been forgotten about since, Jeff's been out injured and he's had all of his, like, personal issues and stuff.
So, fun fact. The Hardy family live about an hour away from me.
Yeah.
Like, Matt Hardy is in my town all the time.
That's awesome.
I've met his wife before.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that Matt is home a lot more.
Yeah.
And that kind of ticked me in that he's not necessarily going to continue with the family.
Yeah.
Which is something you can only really figure out if you follow his wife on Twitter and Instagram. But usually he's only home 2 weeks a week.
Yeah.
And he's been home a lot longer. And he kind of just confirmed it on Twitter.
Yeah, I think it's... I read somewhere that they're keeping the Hardys because... And this seems to be the common occurrence with a lot of talent that they're not using. It's to stop them from going to AEW. And I read that's why they haven't released Jeff despite the recent problems that he's been having. And that's why they're keeping him out of TV.
I feel like they just need to drop Jeff.
Yeah.
For his own safety.
That's true. They keep... Well, I would say it gives the company a bad name, but when they're going to Saudi Arabia multiple times a year, I don't think that's at like the top of their priority list.
I am so tired of Saudi shenanigans.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm surprised that Fox is still allowing that Saudi Arabia alignment.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't, like, put a stop to it, considering... I'm reading through the draft results now, and the amount of shots that they've called, they're getting pretty much everybody that they wanted for this show.
It's funny, because I know that someone had mentioned that Seth and Brock Lesnar aren't drafted yet. And I can almost guarantee that Fox is going to take him.
Yeah, especially with...
Because push comes to shove, Fox has priority over USA.
Yeah. Because they're like the newer sort of partnership, I guess. And I think WWE like know at the back of their mind, we've got the USA Network to sort of keep our show. We've had them on USA for God knows how long now. And they can't see anything changing.
It's kind of like when you have that one person that you can always go back and date.
Yeah.
But you also have the exciting side piece.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what USA and Fox are.
I think that's like the perfect metaphor, actually. The thing that confused me with Fox, though, like they present themselves like a legit sports company, but when like... I think it was when I saw it on YouTube and it was announced that they drafted, I think it was Lucha House Party, and there was just a robot on the offices and they're all high-fiving and shaking hands over the Lucha House Party. And it was just really confusing.
I think Fox, for all of them of being a legitimate sports company, they also understands what will draw, which it is... Luchadors. I mean, Fox Sports airs cornhole.
Yeah.
Like, how legitimate is cornhole?
That's true. Well, I think they're definitely going with the Mexican sort of Hispanic sort of audience, considering they're most likely going to get Cain Velasquez on their show as well.
Yeah, that Cain Velasquez angle is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Because he wrestled on AAA.
Oh, he was really good on AAA. I saw the, I can't even remember who, I think he teamed with Cody at Triple Mania and he was doing stuff that not a lot of newcomers to the business are doing. So, if Lesnar lets him do what he wants in the ring, then I reckon, I'd be against him taking the title like a lot of people are saying he should, but I think they'll make a star out of him if they let him do the stuff that he did in AAA.
I think it's dangerous in just that Brock Lesnar has proven that he's a huge ego.
Yeah.
And to have him wrestle with someone that legitimately beat him may tend to be pushing us towards messier matches.
Yeah.
And so that's my huge concern as a viewer, is I'm worried I'm going to see Brock Lesnar legitimately hurt someone based on old school issues.
Yeah. See, I was sort of thinking that, but I was thinking like that this could be kind of a blessing in disguise, because obviously, as you said, like Brock seems to, he seems to like to do things his way. But I think knowing the fact that Kane can legitimately beat the life out of him, then I think it will keep him under control and stop him from doing anything overly stupid, because he knows that if he tries anything, he will just get put in his place, which is a good thing.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Every time I find that Brock Lesnar beaten up on the Octagon picture,
Yeah.
It just makes me chuckle.
Yeah, I know. I know that feeling. It's like all the times, like they position him as like the ultimate fighter and the most dominant guy in sports and stuff, and it's just like it's obviously to the casual audience who just watch wrestling and haven't seen anything outside, then it's a good thing. But then you have like the more hardcore audiences who know of tougher guys within wrestling, as well as like the guys in MMA that could legitimately take him and beat him.
I mean, I kind of wanted to see like a Brock Lesnar Baron Corbin, because I feel like Baron Corbin could also legitimately beat his ass.
Yeah, I'm actually starting to become a fan of Baron Corbin, something I never thought I'd hear myself say.
You know, I actually recently listened to an interview with Baron Corbin on, I think it's like the Let's Sam podcast?
Yeah.
Something like that. And that interview was actually really good. Like, despite how much I don't like the character, person I've actually come to enjoy based on that interview.
Yeah, he seems like a really nice guy. I remember a couple of months ago, I think somebody on Twitter, and I think her name's Misty, I'm not sure if you saw the tweet a while ago, and she said that she had high function autism and Baron Corbin was her hero, and he said he got in touch with her privately and it was shared all over social media, and he said next time WWE are in her area, then he'll give her tickets and like she can meet him and stuff, which was quite a class act. Like, considering he's such a good heel on TV, I think he's a really nice person.
Oh yeah, no, he talked about it in the interview.
Yeah.
And that he, you know, like he has to explain to his family that, yeah, I know I'm not a dick all the time, but if you pay me enough money, I'll be as big of a dick as you want me to.
Yeah.
Did Charlotte already get drafted?
Charlotte is looking on the website now. They're doing it weird. I don't see why they couldn't have just done it how they did it last time. They're doing it in like draft pools. So on Monday on Raw, there's like a set list of guys that that can be drafted. So that's Aleister Black, Ali, Andrade, AOP, Bayley, Lesnar, Buddy Murphy, Carmella, Charlotte, Cedric, Hawkins and Ryder, Dana Brooke, Daniel Bryan, Drake Maverick, and basically everybody else who hasn't been drafted. I think it's like...
Who do you think's going to take Charlotte?
I want to see her go to Raw and possibly team with Becky, or have another program with Becky, because that was, I think, one of the best women's feuds that we've seen. Period.
100%.
Yeah. But then she's been doing loads of promotion for Fox, and the fact I feel that more mainstream appeal, and the fact that she's been doing non-stop promotion for Fox, and I feel that Charlotte and Sasha can have another feud, but then the fact that she's dropped the title, I can see her going to Raw and giving that another bit of star power, because obviously Bayley will be staying on SmackDown as the women's champion there. And they love Sasha, and there's so many women's talents on this list for Monday. Mandy and Sonya, more Sonya than Mandy. The Iconics.
I'm surprised they're keeping Mandy and Sonya.
Yeah, I'm sort of hoping at the back of my mind that they get split up, because I feel like Mandy can do well as a singles competitor, and then Sonya can do the same. But Liv Morgan as well. I'd like to see where she goes, considering she hasn't really been seen since she lost to Charlotte.
I'm surprised they're keeping Liv Morgan.
Yeah.
Like, Liv Morgan and Sonya specifically, I haven't really seen them used in a way that makes sense.
Yeah.
I understand if they keep Sarah Logan.
Yeah.
Because she does really well with the Viking Raiders.
Yeah.
And Mandy is a good competitor. Yeah, Sonya and Liv, I don't know.
Yeah, there's something about, like, I think that with Sonya, I think she could sort of, to an extent, sort of fill the Ronda Rousey-shaped hole in the life belt that they've got as for, like, an MMA-influenced woman in the division. But, like, she's sort of good in the way that she's not going out to, like, and visually showing that she's the MMA woman, which is good. But I think if she gets a split from Mandy, because obviously I reckon they'll push Mandy as the bigger star. But yeah, if they go for like the younger and sort of like less used women's talents, then I think they could build a really strong division, especially like on Raw, where like they've got Becky who can elevate the stars because she's got that mainstream appeal now.
I don't know. I'll definitely be curious.
Yeah.
Just because, I don't know, Sonya, she's not memorable to me.
Yeah.
And the only reason why Liv Morgan is memorable is because I associate with her with pop culture.
Yeah.
Not either of them for the rest of the field.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can definitely see Fox fighting for Charlotte just because Liv is such a big name.
Yeah.
Outside of wrestling.
That's true.
And I can see Fox saying, we give you all this money, give it to Charlotte, or we're going to take our toys and go home.
Yeah, I think that's
I can see them doing the same thing for Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. I think that's been like the case for everything so far, though, considering they've got Bray, and they're most likely going to have Brock, and they've got Roman. And I'm not sure. I think they wanted Seth, but obviously they're not going to get Seth, because unless something happens soon and he drops the Universal title for one reason or another, then he'll be staying on Raw.
I could see them sending him to SmackDown just to continue this Bray Wyatt angle.
Yeah.
Which I still owe you a fist fight for.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't think I've forgotten.
Yeah. See, I'm sort of hoping that, like, rather than them carrying on the... See, because Seth as champion and Brock as champion sort of puts them in a bit of a corner, because there's not many people that want to see another Seth versus Lesnar match this year. And I feel that if they were to do something at Survivor Series, then it'd be better if they had... Because obviously now SmackDown are being positioned as the A show. If they had, say, Brock retained over Velasquez, because I think the only reason that his Kane's been brought in is to give Brock his win back. And then have The Fiend kill Brock. And then we have the Fiend-Seth rematch where hopefully they do the right thing and they let The Fiend go over.
I just need them to do Bray well. Because what they did on Hell in a Cell is shenanigans.
Yeah.
And they did that ending 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to have two DQs 2 years in a row in Hell in a Cell?
Because it's Vince, and he's just like, you can just imagine him just in the book, like in the like the production meetings and stuff, and he's like, well, this will infuriate the fans, so then you'll have more viewers on the product to see if this situation gets amended and the fans finally like the, I don't know, he's got a warped mind. He's definitely lost his touch though, and he just needs to let Triple H.
I don't know. I'm willing to fist fight Vince McMahon.
Yeah. I think that'd be funny if he was, like, not looking as terribly ill as he is now.
Yeah, no, he looks very frail.
Yeah.
Like, beating up a noodle.
I'm just hoping that they're... Because I reckon the XFL will take up so much of his time, and I don't think his mind or body would be able to keep up with running two big companies, and hopefully we get Triple H.
Is he still trying to do the XFL?
Yeah, unfortunately. I can't see anybody signing, though, because I saw on Twitter the other day that I think the weekly wage, I'm not sure if it's good, I don't watch the NFL, so well, I'm assuming it's really bad in comparison. But I think it's like 40,000 a week or something, or a month or something, and you get like small bonuses for wins and like bigger games and stuff, but loads of people saying it wasn't very good and nobody was going to sign.
So what else is there?
Okay.
What else is on the draft?
Okay, so we've got for Monday, the bigger names that I'm seeing. I've seen rumours that Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy are going to Raw because apparently Heyman really likes them. I'm sort of saying that Brock could go to Raw because obviously Heyman is in charge of, well, he's an executive something of Raw. So it would sort of be better if Lesnar was there, as because it, obviously Heyman could be his advocate, and then there wouldn't be as much competition between Fox and USA. There wouldn't be any issues arising. Yeah. And it's just a matter of...
I'm happy with wherever Alistair goes.
Yeah. I think with The Fiend and Roman, though, they could technically... And with, like, Rollins and stuff. And if they were to make the right picks, then SmackDown could have a good roster. And they wouldn't need Brock.
I think that with this Fox buyout, they're required to have SmackDown, receive good talent.
Yeah.
Which ultimately should only benefit us as leaders.
Yeah. I think SmackDown will be happy with because they drafted Strowman, so I think along with that, if Tyson Fury signs, I think they'll be happy with Tyson Fury because I don't know, I think I'm not sure, but Kane sort of disappeared from MMA for a bit, and Tyson Fury's not long competed in a boxing ring, and it was quite a high profile fight.
I don't know. I thought Tyson Fury addition is kind of weird.
Yeah.
I haven't decided how I feel about
you. The line he hit Strowman with was... It was good, but it felt too scripted. With the... I think it's something along the lines of... I'm a heavyweight champion of the world. How many heavyweight titles have you won? And that is like... That's such a schoolyard insult.
Well, to be fair, all the UFC insults that they would usually use was a regular
speech. Yeah.
You can't exactly Conor McGregor anything on SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you imagine, like, a rated R, like, call out in WWE?
If
like that... full-blown Attitude Era again.
Oh, that'd be fun. I think it'd get a lot of... I think that could be the way to, sort of, like, you get the main roster products to sort of, like, take it to AEW, because I think a lot of fans are sort of starting to tune in because they're seeing clips on like Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and whatnot, and it's like Jericho saying he's gonna beat the shit out of people, or he's calling people bitches, and it just seems more authentic, because like the majority of people in the world swear. So if they were to do like as you say, like a rated R sort of promo or an angle or something that was unscripted, and they went back and it was just like it felt authentic, then I think that's the way to, because I think that'd be the way to like save some of the viewers that are sort of starting to tune out, because they seem to...
I feel like the Rock roast,
yeah,
that they did on the Monday show,
yeah,
was like kind of torn, yeah, but it's definitely not on the same level as AEW is allowing Jericho to reach.
Yeah, I think with the Rock though, it's because like it's The Rock and he can do what he wants, really, because he doesn't... I think it was more of a case of WWE needed him for their big Fox premiere, but The Rock doesn't need WWE anymore.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
So, but yeah, I think it's a good thing. Like, if they were to go... Like, because everybody goes on about, like, the key 18 to 49 demographic for the TV ratings. And it just confuses me that they keep going for a PG product. Like, I know NXT proves that you can have a PG product and it can still be good. But if they want to go for the 18 to 49, then I feel like they need to incorporate a bit of sort of a bit of a grittier product. So they're not as... I remember I watched an interview that Fred Durst did, and he said that... when he flipped off a camera at SummerSlam, like I think it was about 10 years ago now, and he said that WWE has become overly pussified, which was quite funny, but it sort of rang true. So if they did more like towards like teenagers and adults, then I feel like they could bring back some viewers and give it a more entertaining product.
I feel like they're constantly like, I'm going to be PG-13, I'm going to be rated G, I'm going to be good, and then like they do the occasional like jab R rating.
Yeah.
And then run away.
No, it was like AJ Styles is start. I think AJ is like the most prominent example of them pushing the boundaries a little bit, and the fact that he keeps going about like moms and stuff. And I know Mickie James a while ago was petitioning if she stayed on Raw, then they could make a T-shirt of hers and like Monday Night MILF or something. It was, and I feel like that could have been something fun, and it could have.
I feel like AJ Styles has been unwillingly shoved into that rated R
Yeah.
slot. Because he's like a devout, like homophobic Christian.
Yeah.
So every time I see him do something like edgy, I wonder like how much money he had to give him.
Yeah. I think they gave him more when he renewed his contract, simply to like so he could do a bit more.
Like, can you just think of like how much money they had to give him to do the Samoa Joe fight angle?
Yeah.
Like, hey, sit here while we disrespect the hell out of your wife. Or like the Lana and Rusev angle.
Oh, how
Like how
Rusev.
did that get set?
Yeah, I'm surprised that Rusev hasn't walked out, considering he's I think I saw Lance Storm tweeting is like I can't remember who gave him the advice, but he said that he got some advice once and he was told never do a wife never do an angle with your wife because after a while you won't have a wife anymore. And then Lance Storm was like, I took that advice and I haven't done an angle with my wife and I've been married for like 20 years now. And Lana has done sexual stuff with The Rock and now Lashley and Dolph Ziggler. And it's just someone made a joke on Twitter the other day that Rusev and Mike Kanellis could team as the Young Cucks, which was quite fun.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Kanellis angle is really cringe too.
Oh, it's just.
It reminds me, you know what the Kanellis angle reminds me of? It reminds me of when Lita was pregnant.
Yeah.
It's a definitely more PG-ish
Yeah.
version of what that was, but it's definitely like the same kind of.
It was so it was good in 2000, like when Edge and Matt Hardy and stuff did it and like and they had like or like when they did the whole nonsense where like Kane made Lita get a miscarriage and it was sort of obviously it wasn't as like whole like, it was more sort of acceptable then. Like if you were to make jokes about that now, then it would be a bit of a sticky situation for them, considering like they've got that many like shareholders and big sponsors, and they've got I think Connor's Cure would definitely cut all ties, and Fox would
I don't
probably
think
do
they
the
would
same.
ever dare do that now.
Yeah. Just imagine like with a PG audience, like kid just going up to their parents, like what's going on here? Like what does this mean? It'd be some very
Not even
awkward
a PG
conversations.
audience.
Yeah.
Just the prevalence of social media. Like, Twitter would lose its shit.
Yeah. It would be funny to see Twitter lose its mind, but then it'd be sort of sad at the same time because WWE get enough hate as it is. But
Yeah, no, I agree.
yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at the
It'll definitely see what they do with it.
yeah. Hopefully Lana and Lashley get moved to separate brands now because I can get with Mike and Maria because I there's sort of like an aura around Mike Kanellis that makes me think that he's a Paul Heyman guy and Heyman sees something in him. But and like the whole story with the Kanellis as well, like I think that Heyman being the madman that he is has got something planned and it'll be a slow build but he will Mike Kanellis will do something big.
Mike Kanellis is like the epitome of a man who can bounce back from anything.
Yeah. I would have preferred to have seen him go back to like Impact or Ring of Honor where he's actually like treated right, but I get that sort of having that guaranteed paycheck and being like to support his family and with that to come along with being humiliated on TV, I think anybody would take that offer over being paid very little or not being paid on time, or not having any real stable income.
Well, yeah, and on top of that, like, as much as everyone will sit here and say that AEW is going to dethrone WWE, the real, like, business that's going to be hurt and that will inevitably fail is Ring of Honor. And then Impact. Ring of Honor is going first. Ring of Honor was already failing. And then AEW popped up.
I
You
think,
know, Ring of Honor is dying. It's going to be done. And those wrestlers in Ring of Honor, like Flip, fuck him, Gordon, is and Marty Scurll are inevitably going to go to AEW when AEW kills Ring of Honor.
it is a shame because, well, I think Ring of Honor have been sort of damaged by their by themselves, because obviously they're owned by Sinclair, and it's clear that Sinclair does not give a single toss about Ring of Honor. They're not putting the money in to like promote them as much. The TV listings are, it's not on a regular basis, like they're not on a regular night. It's sometimes it's a Monday, sometimes it's a Wednesday. There's no, I just don't think they care. And with the fact, I think their major downfall started at SuperCard of Honor, because they brought in Enzo and Cass, and they didn't tell New Japan about it, and New Japan carried that show. So I feel like them cutting ties, and I know CMLL aren't happy with them because they made Rush and Dragon Lee miss their contractual obligations. So Rush and Dragon Lee have been released from CMLL, and with Ring of Honor looking like it's gonna go under, as you say. But it's gonna lead to some very interesting bidding war between WWE, AEW, and I wouldn't say Impact are in as much danger now, because they've bought Access, so they've got that big TV deal, and they could potentially be working with New Japan again because their parent company owns the TV channel that New Japan's on.
Impact is a hard one because they're super, super problematic. And I don't foresee that problematic behavior much longer. Like, you have a whole Rich Swann. Like, you can't sit here and have Rich Swann on the roster and think that's going to be okay forever.
Yeah, I'm surprised they signed him, because considering what he got released from WWE for, like obviously if they were bigger, then it would have been looked down upon more, because it was domestic abuse, wasn't it? I think.
Whole story is basically he and Soo Young were driving. Well, he was driving. Soo Young was in the passenger seat. They argued. He started wailing on her, and she leapt out of a moving car.
Jesus.
And then, after it's all said and done, after the police pressed charges on her behalf, she then went on Twitter and said, "Everyone, leave my marriage alone. My business." And, like, she got mad that people were calling her a victim. Like, I'm sorry. If you're a woman and you leap out of a moving car because you're getting beat up on, you're a victim of something. And so Soo Young was attacking people for bringing up Rich Swann beating her up. And her behavior is a lot of the reason why no one brings up Rich Swann. Because she was vanity surfing and attacking everybody.
Yeah, I remember when she kicked off with like absolutely anybody, and when Impact signed Rich Swann, I was really skeptical. I was starting to get back into Impact, and I was like, yeah, but they've got a person who is a woman beater, and that's why in like 2014, 15, when Bram was outed as a perpetrator of domestic abuse, and that like immediately turned me off on the product, because it was just, you don't have that if you want to build yourself back up as a viable alternative. You can't have those sorts of people in your company as your champions. And
Or,
it.
you know who I haven't seen? Thinking now of Scandal and ending careers.
Yeah.
Lars Sullivan.
I think he's injured, which is good, as much as I'd never wish injury on a wrestler, but he is like a reprehensible human being, but because he's apologized, everything's fine.
Yeah, no, that's not how it works.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's because like they clearly have big problems for him, and then It's like one of my friends, they pointed out when he was making comments about Stephanie McMahon. I can't remember what he said, but then he's made comments about his boss, which were inappropriate, and he's made countless racist and just discriminative remarks. And then you can just tell that Vince has just seen, oh yeah, he's a big guy, he's a complete dick in real life, but because he's apologized, let's push him to the moon and let's make him work with Lucha House Party.
And frankly, Vince McMahon has made him apologize.
Yeah.
The sponsors made him apologize. Like, there's no way Vince McMahon was like, apologize for the things that I know I also say.
Yeah.
Like, no, you know, Snickers came down, and Snickers was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, that's why they came.
And secondarily, how is WWE missing this stuff? Like, Lacey Evans.
Yes.
Lacey Evans is racist, too. Like, how is WWE missing all of these things when they do their, you know, social media searches?
Yeah.
When I know, personally, an independent wrestler who worked over by WWE because of their social media.
Yeah.
But then you see Lars Sullivan and Lacey Evans.
Yeah, it's just, it's an odd one, isn't it? Because, obviously, if they want to keep someone, then they'll keep someone, which is stupid. But I feel like if we were to be really vocal about it, and if we did what, if the audience did what they did with Kofi, and they made WWE, if they made such a noise that WWE had to listen and do something about it, well, yeah, if, like, I know Lars had, he was quote unquote fined. You can tell that was just a kayfabe thing, though. But they do all this BSR, and they promote constantly about, like, being a nice person, and then, like, you're hiring genuine assholes to your company and putting them in big, like, strong positions with more exposure.
And you have a whole title named after a sex trafficker.
Yeah. And I know that was...
Which they still never really apologized for.
Yeah, they sort of just, like...
There's a show called, like, the Wrestlers or the Dark Side of Wrestlers.
Oh, yeah, I watched that.
Put out by Iceland, and they did a Moolah episode.
Yeah.
Anyone that listens, if you want to go find that episode, it's staggering.
Yeah, I could get both sides of the story about, like, how she's not alive anymore, so she can't defend herself. But at the same time, it's like...
That.
It's with those sorts of things, it's more of a guilty till proven innocent sort of thing. And it was more of a 95% were saying that she did it, and then the other smaller percents were more like, well, I've heard rumblings, but it never happened to me, so it didn't happen at all.
And I think that's what pissed me off the most about the entire thing. Like, the ones that sat here and said Moolah was great.
Yeah.
Were the ones that came out on the other end. And everyone that was honest about Moolah were the ones that had devastating injuries. And I know it's like, seems like a biased recollection, but like, when you have so many people saying the same thing, maybe you should fucking listen.
Yeah. It was, what was going on though with, like, the fact that she was putting them into her debt, though, by offering them accommodation, and then it was silly. I know that was why, like, on a lesser scale, but that's why Bill Demott got fired from WWE a few years ago, because he was being a genuinely bad person. Obviously, like, not pimping out trainees and whatever, but he was inappropriately touching trainees. I think Rusev had neck surgery. And Demott ripped his t-shirt off him, grabbed hold of the collar and just yanked down. And he was touching female trainees inappropriately. And it's like, you can't be doing that, because, like, it's just silly that they think they're going to get away with it, because, especially, like, with the presence of social media, and you know that people are going to pick up on it.
I mean, I can give you a whole outline of what Moolah did and how she did it.
Yeah.
And really how she got away with it.
Yeah, it was just the reputation was, I think people didn't care because it was Especially like back then, because she was like the only big name that they had, and if they made a scandal out of it, then they wouldn't have a big name anymore, or as many big names.
Well, not only that, but Mulan made a point to prey on women of an ethnic minority.
Yeah.
So she had a lot of women of Oriental descent, Black women, and Native American women. And so those were women, especially at that time, that no one gave a damn about.
Yeah.
So no one was going to care that she pimped out this Black girl from South Carolina. And I mean, it's kind of the same thing happening now.
Yeah.
Like, you have Rich Swann, who's released for, you know, beating his wife, who's still with him and didn't want to press charges.
Yeah.
But then you have, you know, people who say terrible things about minorities or who have multiple DUIs, but because they're of a certain ethnicity, it's fine.
Yeah. See, what confused me was...
if the Usos weren't the Usos...
Yeah.
They would not be around.
Yeah.
All those DUIs, they would not be around.
Yeah, I can tell that... Well, I think we can all tell the fact that they want the Samoan dynasty, and the only reason to... Well, because Rikishi is essentially the sort of spokesman for that sort of part of their family, then the only way to appease him and to get closer to getting what they want is to keep his sons on board.
Yeah.
It's petty, the fact that they're keeping known criminals, and like, that have been proven guilty as well. Like, I can get that they fired Enzo last year because he got called out for rape, and then it turns out he didn't do it in the end, but and like they got rid of him. He's like, well, stay away as far as you can. And I think the same happened to Cass with domestic incidents with Carmella, and they got rid of him straight away. But then, like, you have Rich Swann, who he only got fired when it was made a huge deal that that's what he did. And
well, and then you have the whole Cody Graves thing and his wife.
Yeah.
And Carmella.
Oh, that just gets on my nerves whenever I hear it on, like, TV and whatever. So I know when Grace was on Raw with Renee, and they kept bringing it up. And it's just... Like, Bray Wyatt, I like him as a wrestler, but the fact that he cheated on his wife and now he's got another kid, and it was all made so public. And...
Oh, my God, I remember that.
Yeah. I think that's why they kept him off TV for so long and rebranded him and stuff, so it's more like, here's something fresh now... Forget about all the things that he did. It's like a Men in Black sort of memory wiping thing.
You know the funny thing about the Carmella Graves thing? She did an interview.
Yeah.
Where she complained that because of their origin story, she didn't feel like she could celebrate their relationship in the way that other people can.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's kind of how that works. You don't get to sit here and date someone's husband and then get upset when you get called out on it.
Yeah, I think it's, like, the fact that it's... I don't even know how to go about responding to that, because I think you're absolutely right. And it's more of a fact that they seemingly... It's a thing of, I've got a bigger reputation than you. How dare you try and damage it, sort of thing.
Yeah, it's all these ego politics.
Yeah.
And those legal politics will sit here and affect what kind of product we get. Like Kofi getting squashed by Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. Oh, that confused me.
The way you lose the title, it shows how much WWE affects you.
Yeah.
And I will never forgive that.
Yeah, it's the fact that on, like, this week's SmackDown as well, and he came out and he was all, like, smiles, and it was sort of a... Because he was presenting the title belts to the... women that were, like, cancer-free, and they were with Susan G. Komen, which I'm still not 100% sold on their partnership, considering what I've read about Komen. And the fact that, like, 20% of what they make goes to, like, actually goes to donations, and, like, their CEO is on, like, $600,000 a year, which shouldn't be happening if you're a proper charity.
The Susan B. Komen charity has been, like, the black sheep shame of the charity community.
Yeah.
For as long as I can remember, and I stay confused as to why they can do anything with Susan B. Komen.
Yeah.
But I think it's also because it's also the largest charity, so it gives them a lot more visibility.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's gross.
Yeah, look, the advert that they did the other day, I saw it and I was like, I was absolutely appalled. It was like, it was something along the lines of breast cancer is like an 8-woman elimination match. And it was like, how can you even compare something as life-changing as cancer to a wrestling match?
Who came up with that marketing?
It's like, I'm studying marketing, I could do a better job than that, where it's like,
whoever came up with that campaign to get punched in the dome.
Yeah. It's like, you can sort of tell that Vince could have had an idea in it, because he's just that out of touch. He's like, you have to plug the product whenever we can, even if it's in like the most inappropriate of situations. Vince didn't ever do anything like that with Connor's Cure, though.
Oh, God, no.
Because it's like, they're a charity, and Connor was such, he was, I don't know, he was sort of connected to WWE, and he was more, like, more well-known for being affiliated with WWE than Susan G. Komen, so they can do what they want to try and build that relationship and have them associate with a breast cancer charity.
I'm surprised Make-A-Wish still won't take it from WWE.
Yeah.
And the Girls and Boys Club of America.
Yeah, like,
the, what's their name, Trinity?
Yeah, I think so.
Uso's wife.
Yeah.
She did a huge, like, charity thing with the Boys and Girls Club of America. And I was very surprised. Especially since her husband had just gotten into the DUI.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah, they do stuff with, like, the Special Olympics as well, and they only do that every so often. And it sort of seems to sort of be appropriate to them. Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And yeah, Make-A-Wish. And they do all this charity work, and then they make all of these campaigns that leave a bad taste.
I feel like they treat charity work as like a deposit in like the karma pig thing.
Yeah.
So whenever they do the next like fucked up thing, they can be like, but the Special Olympics.
Yeah.
Or that's a gross way to work.
Yeah, or like they have like tributes to the troops, and it's like, we can do what we want because we do the special show for the soldiers, and we have a real life leukemia survivor who's an inspiration to many, and you wouldn't want to cut, and it's sort of like a blackmail thing. It's like, well, if you cut ties with us, then you cut ties, like, especially like with the cancer charities, like, we have a cancer survivor on our roster at the minute, and if you cut ties with us, then you don't get that.
How are you going to sit here and do like a troop show in Iraq and then go to Saudi Arabia and do a show?
Yeah, it's so ironic. It's like, it's just a case of money, isn't it? It's like, well, we're doing this good thing, but then at the same time, we need the money. Considering, I think the Saudi shows make, I read somewhere that the Saudi shows make twice what WrestleMania does.
Oh, absolutely.
So. But even the Saudis are out of touch. No, I don't.
I make it a point to just not watch it, because it really, I have a lot of ways that I can sit here and I can sit here and ignore a lot of my efforts.
Yeah.
But the Saudi Arabia show is not one of them.
Yeah, I know, especially like with how public it was last year that they killed the journalist, and it was such a big story, and like, despite that backlash, and they were like, but we've got the agreement with them to at least 2 shows a year for the next 10 years, so we have to do it.
Well, my issue is that, like, the WWE has proven that they can't protect their stars in the Middle East.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was, but I remember reading a story about an female WWE star who had gotten raped in Iraq.
I think it was Ashley Massaro, and they told her to keep quiet about it.
So now you're sitting here putting your stars in an even more scary situation, because Saudi Arabia is so much worse.
Yeah, the fact
And even if you're not sending your female stars there, you still have all those male stars.
Yeah.
And it's really, really sketchy.
It is absolutely, like, there's no benefits to them doing it, because it just shows that they give no, like, they don't give a crap about their women's evolution, because they're more, especially considering that, I think I read last year when the women were being vocal about the fact that they weren't allowed to go and wrestle in Saudi Arabia, that there was a possible death penalty there if they were, if they complained about it. And like,
no, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, there's no benefits to them going as well, because obviously there's no women talent, which have become like more of a focal point in like when they do shows in America, and the fact that a lot of their big names won't go out of protest, because I know Daniel Bryan won't go, Kevin Owens won't go because they're friends with Sami Zayn, who's not allowed to go.
Yes, yeah, Sami Zayn isn't allowed to go.
No.
I don't know. I think Mustafa Ali said no as well.
Yeah. And it's like,
I don't know if that was out of safety or not.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the relationship between Muslims in Saudi Arabia. Because I know that he is Muslim and his wife is a hijabi.
Yeah.
But I don't know if level of devotion is adequate in Saudi Arabia.
It's just, I don't know what to make of it. It's just a bad move. If you're going to do all the good stuff, keeps the good stuff. Don't do all the good stuff, because it balances out the bad show that you're doing twice a year on that's just making you a bunch of blood money.
But blood money is the best money.
Well, to them, yeah, but if you're going to be like a good, if you're going to try and like set a good example, like we do all this good charity work and we help our, we're like, we support our troops and all that jazz, then don't go and do a show like that.
Yeah, but that darn sweet, sweet Saudi money.
That is true.
Shawn Michaels came out of retirement for it.
Yeah. I reckon Edge will be
Michaels,
next.
Shawn Michaels, who was it?
Yeah, I think it was Shawn Michaels. I think Edge is next on the list, considering I've read from multiple places. Yeah.
Like, I don't even think Edge would risk his neck for anyone.
I think,
especially since he has a really good paycheck coming in from Vikings.
Yeah.
Because he's on that show as a steady.
Yeah, I read somewhere that he was medically cleared, and I was like, yeah, he's medically cleared, but does he want to wrestle? That is the question, because there's only so long he can go. It's like with Ciampa in NXT, there's only so long he can go now because he's had neck surgery.
It's one of those things where it's like, he's medically cleared now, but he has his daughters, he has his wife, he has an acting career.
Yeah.
So as much as he may sit here and love wrestling, is it worth setting all of the rest of that aside?
Exactly, I think.
Do I see him coming back and doing like talk show shit and taking a bump every once in a while? Maybe, but I don't see him on the whole Sunday show.
It's like the angle at SummerSlam that he did with Elias, that's perfectly fine because it doesn't put him, it's one spear, and after 8 years, then it's not going to do a great deal of damage.
Yeah.
But I think that's why Daniel Bryan said that after his current contract's up, he's going to a part-time because he has to watch his health because he's got a kid.
Yeah. Kids will definitely change what you're willing to do.
Yeah.
For WWE.
But, yeah, should we talk about, like, AEW and NXT then? Sort of good that we're getting political and we're being vocal about the issues that we have. But then there's good stuff as well.
Well, it's one of those things where no one really wants to talk about the nitty-gritty grossness.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants to focus on the product.
Yeah.
But to focus on the product, you have to sit here and be informed.
That's true.
And if you don't know what's going on, you can't sit here and accurately have a fully fleshed opinion.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's my opinion on it, though.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, it's good to just, like, get all of the thoughts and stuff out about the, like, all the negative stuff that's happening. And we, like, the fact that the fans get to have a voice in, like, this day and age. So, yeah, so we have to talk about the negatives, like, as well as the positives, because everybody seems to be focusing on the positives and sort of pushing the negatives to the back of their minds.
I say, it's easy to sit here and be critical of product, but still love it.
Yeah.
Because Because being critical doesn't mean I'm a hater. It means I'm holding it accountable.
Yeah, that's what gets on my nerves, like on Twitter and whatever, and like I'll call out WWE or whatever, and it like straight away the first comment will be, bang, you're an AEW mark because you're criticising WWE. It's like, well, it's not a matter of me criticising their product. It's from a political point of view, what they're doing is ethically wrong, and I'm not just going to sit here and let them do it as a fan. And as fans everywhere have a right to voice their opinion and get the companies to listen.
It's always funny to me when people use the fact that I'm a woman against me.
Yeah.
And then try to use WWE versus AEW against me.
Yeah.
Because truth comes to everything. I am not an AEW Impact gal.
Yeah.
I am an indie girl.
Yeah.
I can sit here and do 16 different podcasts about the North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia independence.
Yeah.
I can do one podcast about New England. So I can sit here and look at these big promotions in a very unclouded way because I don't have an attachment to them.
Yeah.
And it gets me real mad when people are like, oh, you're an AEW mark. Like, no, I'm not. I'm a PCW, PWX mark.
Yeah.
And half of you don't even know what that is.
It's like, with me, I think, like, there are so many local promotions and there are so many independent promotions that I have experienced, and I've gotten to the point where I don't have an attachment to any company. I'm just like there to enjoy wrestling. I don't feel like I have to sort of pick a company to like give all my loyalty to, which is both a good thing and a bad thing. But I'd say after a while, I'd say Fight Club Pro has to be sort of the promotion that I side with most, because when I start wrestling training, I'm using their training school, so it just feels logical. And a lot of the indie guys in the UK that I've heard of, I've seen in Fight Club Pro.
My loyalty really is to Chaotic Beyond.
Yeah.
And PWX.
Yeah.
And other than that, like, any time my loyalty is kind of loose. I really withhold my loyalty for wrestlers individually.
Yeah.
Ooh, speaking of independent wrestlers, who you may actually know.
Yeah.
The International Superstars.
Yeah.
With Blanca Loco, the Dream Girl, Ellie, and Joey Osborne.
Yeah.
So, fun fact. / not fun, it's actually terrible. Dream Girl Ellie just made a post on Facebook today that Joey Osborne has been abusing her.
Jesus.
So I'm interesting to see what the promotions on your side and mine are going to say about what she has just said.
I reckon they'll be wanting to deal with it like ASAP so they can sort of not move on, but like sort of sweep it under the rug and begin to move on and not linger on it too much, like resolve the issue and then carry on doing what they're doing and keep the momentum going.
It's going to be really weird because you have the four of them.
Yeah.
So now you have this divide between Ellie and Joey, who was beating her. And now you have, Blanca Loco and the other Zach, I think his name is.
Yeah.
To make a decision, as well as promotion. You have promotion sitting here having to make the Rick Swan decision.
Yeah.
So there's that little bit of indie news I can give to you.
See, I really should be watching more indie stuff, and it's a shame that I don't. It's like, because whenever I watch wrestling at home, and it's like, because as much as I love my sisters, like, they seem to like steal everything that I'm into. So with wrestling, it has to be WWE. Like when I watch it with my friends, they don't watch indie wrestling, so I sort of feel like a bit of an outsider when I'm sort of like, I'm trying to enjoy all wrestling and nobody else gets it. It's like, I was trying to talk to my friend about like progress and stuff the other day, and they were like, oh, what's progress? And it's like,
I run into the issue where I don't have anyone that watches wrestling. and then watch wrestling is friends or attached to my question mark boyfriends.
Yeah.
If we broke up, then I would like lose all that wrestling support. You know what I mean?
Yeah. See, that's why I started getting back into like podcasting and stuff, and like I sort of taken a step back from writing, so I was just writing about like New Japan and stuff. But with podcasting, I can like talk to people more, like in more of a direct way, about wrestling that I may not get to sort of like watch or experience much, and whereas like others do.
That's why I got back on Twitter.
Yeah.
I made like all of my Twitter is wrestling oriented because I'm talking about it.
Yeah.
And that's how I found like the Blade Job, Mads, Matt, eventually you.
Yeah.
The wrestling community just needs to talk to each other more.
Yeah, it's a good thing to like talk, but then like there's, as with all places in the world, there is just like the toxic bit, and it's just. The amount of people that I've seen and they're just being like genuinely misogynistic, or they're going out of their way to just spread hate, and there's no need to do it. Like, that, just enjoy the discussion. So now on Reddit, and I voiced my opinion on, what was it that I said? I think I said something about Kenny Omega and the fact that he was telling a long-term story, and everybody was like, straight away, it's like, well, no, he's not, because you're not in his head and whatever, and you don't know what's going on. And it's like, and I just don't understand it. It's like, just try to get along.
It's hard as like a chick watching wrestling.
Yeah.
Just because like every single time, it's the go-to argument is, oh, we just think he's hot.
Yeah.
Like, that's irrelevant. Like, just because I think he's hot doesn't mean I don't have any dedication to watching a good match.
Yeah.
Like, I don't find Bray Wyatt hot.
Yeah.
And I definitely wanted him to win because of the storyline.
Yeah.
And or like Randy Orton and Mustafa Ali. I have no like a romantic attraction to these two men.
Yeah.
But I'm still gonna get mad when Randy Orton once again refuses to lose to someone he thinks is a nobody.
Yeah. And I get that, obviously, like, it's a bigger problem for women, but, like, with, like, when I'm watching wrestling with my friends and whatever, and, it's, like, when we watch women's wrestling, it's, like, the conversation straight away goes to, yeah, she's fit, ain't she? And it's, like, well, yeah, but then I'm not watching it because they're attractive, I'm watching it because they're legitimate athletes trying to make a living, and the fact that I'm trying to take them seriously, and there's always the sexualization, and it obviously it works with everybody, and it's always, there's always going to be like some small way of that argument coming into the conversation, but I don't know, it's just bad. It's like, appreciate, people just need to like let go of everything else and just appreciate them for being good wrestlers.
I 100% agree.
Okay, so this has been the Crossface Conversations. I've been Conrad. That's been Melissa. Melissa, where can we find you on Twitter these days?
On Twitter, I am vbits_witch.
Okay, that's awesome.
It's not professional. It's not all wrestling.
That is fair. You can follow me at elcompactonu. You can follow the show at crossface_pod. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. And yeah, that's about it. So, bye.
This is a MetaTech production for the Visionaries Wrestling Network.